Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church Belfast.
So, like I said, I believe this morning that I have a word I want to share with you, and I think it's going to do some of you some good. Now, I'm going to teach, and it's really interesting for me because remember last year I said to you, we did the Twisted series, and I said one of the ways of clearing out in order to receive is that things like bitterness and unforgiveness last year I talked about was something that we had to deal with in our lives. And then last week I spoke into the whole area of disappointment and saying that the Lord wants to minister into your disappointment, because one of the things is we hold on to yesterday. And because we hold on to yesterday and our disappointments, it's not even with each other. I think it's primarily with the Lord, all right? We get disappointed with Jesus, let's be honest. And he's okay with that, all right? But what he does is he reveals his love, and he connects you back to the promises, because it's when we're disappointed, it's not that he disappointed us, it's that circumstances or whatever it was, you know, and I'm going to keep sort of touching into it, but I just felt the Lord say last week, Andrew, you know, make sure that there's one way of preaching faith and vision into people, particularly at the start of the year, where you want to align yourself for what God is saying and what God is doing. But it's interesting, I know for me, that what the Lord's even been challenging me this week is you hear something about the goodness of God and something inside of us goes, aye, really? No? Yeah. Because you've heard it. And there's some point in our lives where we held on, it felt like, and it didn't come to pass. Or you could be sitting here today going, but Lord, I know you spoke that word of my life, but I'm not seeing the fullness of it. Or I feel like I'm disappointed. Like, when is this going to happen? Okay, do we get that? And what the Lord said actually is this, is that what you have to do is simply make your decision to go, I will not connect to my disappointment, because my disappointment has a way. It cannot separate me from the love of God, okay, because he loves you. But your disappointment will rob you of the goodness of the love of God for today and for tomorrow. And so that's why he speaks into your world and says, leave your disappointment. Do not connect with it, but instead, faith, that word that is bandied about, but faith, pistis in Greek, it is a gift of God given to you. You grow in your use of faith. You've been given faith, and it's about using it. Faith to believe that God is doing something new in you, has good plans for you and hope for you, is not some ethereal thing that you scrunch up your eyes and go, I've got faith because the preacher says so, or the worship was fantastic, or whatever. It's because there's a deep heart connection between you and the promise that God wrote over your life. That's why he says, read, feed, get into my word, listen, let your heart and your mind be filled with my love and my goodness. Why? Because when your heart is connected to Jesus and his promises, then faith comes not because you wish it so, it's because he says so in his promise, and your heart responds to, if he said it, then I can believe it. Amen. And that's what I was encouraging with last week. And that's interesting. I haven't listened yet, but Pastor Prince was talking last week about the season of latter rain. He said he believed the Lord was speaking about that. I don't know if I was going to say if anyone listened to it. I'm sure a lot of you have. I haven't yet. But what I did was when I saw it, and I went, first of all, to go, Lord, I don't want to take something on myself. I want to hear what you're saying to me. And so I went and did a bit of a study around it. Okay, and I'm just, because what was really interesting, I felt the Lord go, just go and read about, there's actually four kinds of rain. I want to talk to you today because it is a prophetic statement over your life today, all right? That's why I said it, God wants to activate something in you. And then I'm going to go and listen myself to go, hopefully Pastor Prince is in flow with me, and because that would be really helpful. There's a big statement, isn't it? Come on, Joseph, pick it up a bit. And because there was something when I started to read it, this, because It goes, it's all about Israel, which is really interesting. And it's all about how, you know, I just felt, Lord, this is brilliant, because it's exactly what we've been saying, but in a different way. So listen to me at the very start of this sermon, of this talk, because what the Lord wants to do in you right in these next few, and it's actually, there's a speed and there is an acceleration, which I believe is supernatural. And I feel nervous in saying that in one sense, because it's almost like putting yourself out there. All right? But the thing to do whenever you're faced with the giant of disappointment in your life is to stand full square, look the giant in the eyes and go, my God is bigger than you. Do you get that? You don't cower in the face of disappointment. You get healed from it, but you face it. Okay? You turn towards it and know that you might feel smaller, but God in you is so much bigger. Amen? And so not one of us in this church and beyond, we're not going to cower in the face of our disappointment. All right? We're not going to be those super faith people who deny it and go, well, it just never happened. You know, when you have a cough, oh, I've got a bit of a cough. Don't say that. You're not in faith. Oh, shut up. All right? I do have a cough, but Jesus is bigger than my cough. Can we just get real? Yeah? Sorry, too real. All right? Oh, you can't say that. You can't say I'm not feeling well. You'll be dead by Tuesday. No, shut up. It's almost like God sitting waiting going, what did he say? Did you hear him say, he's off it, kill him quick. That'll learn him. You know what I mean? Like, what kind of God? Anyway, don't get me started. But the point is, right? I mean, how many people have been wrapped up in that stuff? You know, they're like, oh, you're right, no, I'm fine. I'm blessed and highly favored. Man, you look flipping awful. I'm just going to throw that out to you. If that's blessed and highly favored, I'm out, because that's a lot of whatever. You get me? It's all right to be real before the Lord, not to give those things a place of influence, but to say, this is what's going on, but hey, my God is bigger. And so therefore, I receive my healing. I receive, you know what I mean? It's like, Jesus never walked into a situation and denied it. He confronted it. And he brought redemption. I love that sense. I think I said that to you last week, because it's made in my head. Everywhere we go, church, as people with the Spirit of Jesus in us, we bring redemption. We bring restoration. Jesus never walked into a situation where he didn't redeem it. All right? So what you can be really confident of this morning as I start to speak to you, as he comes to you in your life, he's going to redeem you. All right? Redeem means to bring back to the original condition. All right? Not just in the fact that it is done and we believe that in faith, but by experience of walking it out. Amen? So every situation in your life, he's going to redeem, because that's what he does. He never walks into anything other than to redeem it. Oh, this is good. So are we ready to learn? It's interesting that there's several different words. Because what I felt, it was interesting. I cannot wait actually to listen to Pastor, because I think, he's a great preacher, number one, and that's where I feed primarily. But I also want you to encourage him. Part of us growing up as a church is that we hear the Lord, okay? And we hear what the Lord has said to us in our context, because we're not anywhere other than Belfast, Lurgan, New North, and all that sort of place, all right? This is where we are. Now, there are four main words. I want you to think about these, because it's a beautiful picture of what the Lord is saying to you. That it's Yorah. Now, here's what I'm going to say to you in 2019. Start to take notes. Oh, there's a challenge. Many people say to me after a talk, that was brilliant. Really enjoyed that. 5 days later, you can't remember a darn thing I said. All right? When I listen to people, I take notes, because it helps me to tune in. But get something with you that you can just go, this is what it means. You can go back and listen, but there's something, can I just encourage you, to really take the words and to think about them and to chew on them. There's four words, Yorah, Matar, Geshem, and Makosh. Let me just tell you what these mean. And this is prophetic for someone. The first two words are Yorah and Malkosh. Now listen, because I'm going to speak to people who are a little bit older right now. Because, okay, so if you're like, you know, over 40, those really old people. Because it's really interesting that it's fairly late in terms of the Western calendar, okay? But the rains that begin to fall in the land of Israel in the autumn. Now, to our Western mindset, right, we go, that's fairly late in the year. Autumn is as things are starting to wind down, right? What comes after autumn? Winter. So in our Western mindset and in our Western calendar, this doesn't really make sense. And I started to think about this and go, right, okay, there's an order here that the Lord is saying, but there's an encouraging word for you, for those of you who are a little bit upper in years, all right? Because the Yorah are what are called the early rains, and it's the start of the rainy season. Now, what happens is these early rains come at the beginning of autumn after a long, dry, parched summer, because in the Middle East, the summers are really, really hot. And what happens is when you're in a dry and parched land, the ground is very hard, okay? You have to get the ground broken up, because you can't plant in ground that has been parched, okay? Because it's just too hard. It's like rock hard in places. Now, what happens is these Yorah rains come after the dry summer. And what happens is they just start to fall on the land. They're light rain. And what they do is they start to prepare the ground in order to be planted. Now, towards the springtime around Passover, which this year is about the 19th of April, kind of, you know, Good Friday is the start of Passover, Israel will have latter rains, which are called Malkosh. And those Malkosh are necessary to bring fruit, to ripen the barley and the grain, right? Have you got me? So Yorah, late in years, when everyone else was going, actually, things are quite late on here, what actually the Lord does is he sends Yorah. Now, the word for Yorah is also the word that means it's the same root as to cast or to teach. It's like an arrow being shot or cast. And it's actually like an arrow being shot to its target. It's the same word is like the word coming from a teacher to a pupil. And the same word as a teacher teaching a pupil is the same word as Yorah rain hitting dry ground. You get that? Are you with me so far? Because this is absolutely beautiful. So what happens is, in fact, God's teaching, God's word, the word of grace, is like the sending of Yorah rain into your life. It says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 2, it says, may my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass and like showers upon the herb. Now, what's really interesting for me is I want to speak to you. If you think you are past it or God has passed you by or it's too late, that is a Western mindset. In the way that God's calendar works, he doesn't work like that. In the land of Israel, it doesn't work like that. Towards the end, when everyone else is going, this is the end of the year and we're heading towards winter, what the Lord says is actually, if you feel dry and parched, if you've gone through a season in your life where you feel like there's dry and there's hardness in me, and not even hardness in me, but it's been a hard, dry time. The Lord says, I am sending you my word. And what is this? Now, listen, this is not about the fullness of blessing. This is about the word of grace coming to you. And as you sit here week after, let me tell you why this church matters. Because what we do week after week, and the Lord said there's something more coming in 2019. Because what we have done week after week after week is taken people like you and people like me who have gone through seasons in our lives where there has been dryness and hardness and feeling like no matter how much the word has come, it hasn't taken root in my life and certainly hasn't brought about fruit, okay? And the Lord says, but as you've sat and I have sent from a teacher like Yorah into your life, these rains have softened up the ground of your heart. They've softened up the ground of your heart. Have you prayed and said, Lord, I want your blessing. I want your fullness. I want to live. The Lord goes, actually, you will never receive that until your heart is actually softened. That's why we leave our disappointment in the past. That's why we don't live in forgiveness. That's why when grace comes, it says, I can take the hardest heart of unforgiveness. I can take your hurt and your disappointment, and I can soften it in order that you can receive more blessing from the Lord. There's nothing else. So the Lord says, I will send you grace. I will send you my word. And as you receive it, you might not feel like it week from week, but actually what the Lord has been doing in you, all right? Every one of you who have sat under the message of grace in this church and listened to it beyond, as the Lord has been softening and preparing and dealing in your heart. Do you believe me? Okay? Because if you haven't seen it, I'm telling you, this is what the Lord is saying to you right now. It's Yorah, all right? That's the same word for teaching received is the same word for these early rains. Isn't that lovely? Now, what happens then is, I mean, that sometimes we come into grace and we go, you know, I just want the fullness. Give me the fullness right now. These are the other rains. These are the latter rain called Malkosh. And what's interesting about Malkosh is these rains are really, really hard. And have you ever seen sometimes whenever rain is tipping it down like so much that it actually just bounces off the ground? You know what I mean? It's like it's not going into the ground. It's just bouncing off because it's too much. It's like this flood that comes and it's just not going in. And that's the latter rain called Malkosh, right? And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. That is a picture. That's what I believe the Lord was saying. As soon as I heard Pastor Prince say, this is what I believe this season is, I went, Lord, I'm going to go and read that before I listen because I want to know. I want you to speak to me so that I know that it's our word and not just somebody else's. And I had such a strong sense of God. If you have sat going, Lord, I want the fullness of your blessing. I want the wholeness of your blessing. The Lord's saying, actually, this is a time for you to be ready because you've been sitting with your heart being prepared. The hardness is going. The hardness is disappearing. And whenever I send the fullness of my message to you and the increase of my message to you and you live in the goodness of it, it won't bounce off your heart. It won't overwhelm you, but you will just be revived. Amen. Now, what's interesting for me is that these spring rains, all right, the Malkosh, they're absolutely essential for the agricultural cycle. There's a thing called the geyser calendar, or Giza and all that, an archaeological relic, basically. And what they do is they find them, these things from the time of Solomon. And what it tells us is that when the early rains come, in the autumn. Then in January and February, it was a time of second planting. Right? It was a time of second planting because the ground was then ready. Do you realize that today the Lord is planting in your life? We're in the time of second planting where the word is coming again. And this time when the word comes, you're going to see the fruit thereof. Somebody give me an amen. And what's interesting to me, check in on how you're doing right now. Because if some of you are going, oh, I'm not sure, the Lord says, leave your disappointment in yesterday. With people, with me, I'm going to take you to a place, the Lord says, where when my blessing starts to flow, you will not drown. It will not knock you out, but you will be able to fully receive. But are you expectant for it? Are you believing for it? Or are you still connected to yesterday? Because we are right in the middle of this time where the Lord says, actually, we're right in the middle of this time where the Lord says, if you keep receiving this word of grace in this time, January, February, March, all right, I believe that you're going to be ready for the fruit of what the Lord is going to do. Because there was a second round of planting that happened after in the springtime. It was called Lakesh. This is really important. So hold that. I'm going to talk about it in a minute. So these harder, later rains is related to Lakesh, right? But what it simply means is this. The latter downpours can more easily penetrate the softer ground and bring forward all of the fruit in the spring. Amen. Don't let your heart be hard, all right? Don't let your heart stay bound up because of disappointment in yesterday. Because the Lord has you here today to receive this word of grace so that you are ready and able to bring forth fruit. Do you get that? That's why today as we've worshipped, today as you sit right now under this word, the Lord is saying to you, I'm preparing you, I'm preparing you, I'm preparing you. I'm giving you grace for today to bring you some kind of life and freedom, but it's preparing the ground for something so much bigger. Do you realize, church, we are called for so much more than this? Honestly, church, we are called for so much more than this. What we see around us today is not even scratching the surface of the call of God on this church, the call of God on your lives, to be people who carry the blessing of God and the fullness of God, to carry the grace of Jesus to people who desperately need it. For those people on the outside today who have no hope, no future, in sickness, you are carriers of this great gospel. And he says to you today, I don't want your heart hard because you're right now, it's like, why would you stay in a place when the Lord is sending rain and you put your umbrella up to go, nah, you're all right. I'll just, you know, that's the equivalent of what we do when our heart is hard. And you might have come through a season where it has been hard. You might have come through a season whereby it has felt dry and it has felt parched. And the Lord says, every day, just receive my grace, receive my word. As the teacher sends it forth, all right, you receive it, okay? And your heart is being prepared. Now, it's interesting that the Spirit of God is often connected with water in the Bible, all right? God's provision of water, and some would see the former rain and the latter rain as outpourings of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, you've probably heard of the latter rain movement. It's been a big thing in Pentecostalism for years. And some people see it as a vindication, you know, of the sort of charismatic renewal and all that sort of stuff in the 70s. But actually, what I want to tell you is every time the Lord speaks to you about rain, it's always about his blessing. So every time you see rain in the Bible, it means blessing. Okay, that's what it means. In Isaiah 44:3, it says, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring, on my blessing, and my blessing on your descendants. Right? So you have these two rains that happen, one early and one late. One prepares and one is a flood. All right? And whatever is planted whenever you're sitting under grace, the Lord says he will accelerate that come the spring, okay? Come the spring when you will start to see a flood of God's blessing in your life being fruit. All right? I don't know about you, but I love that word. And this week I sat and I went, brilliant, enough's enough. I'm not living in the disappointment of yesterday. I'm just not doing it. Lord, even with disappointment with you, I don't hide it from you. I just say, Lord, heal me. Heal me and move me on. Because there's too much in front of me that I don't want to be robbed of by what has become behind me. And what's really interesting for me is that there are times and seasons. There are times and seasons for this. It's sometimes, you know, you can say, well, it's just about receiving the word all the time. Actually, I think when we look at, you know, and receiving the word all the time, absolutely. But do you see that there are times and seasons where the Lord actually brings things about? Do you get that? It's really important. Sometimes if you plant the wrong seed at the wrong time, you don't get the right fruit. That's why the Lord says now is a time of grace. We live in an era of grace. We live in the epoch of grace. We live in the time of where we wait for Jesus to come again. But this is about his grace. That is what God is doing around the world. And this is a time for you to receive grace, right? To sit and to receive and to allow the word of grace to soften you. I don't know about you. I've never sat under any other message other than Jesus and who he is that has ever changed my heart or softened me. Nothing. I've heard some brilliant preachers. I've heard some great teachers. I've even met some of them, had dinner with some of them, traveled to their churches around the world. But it was only encountering Jesus and his grace that ever changed my life. Right? Keeps your heart soft. Keeps your heart in a place where you're able to receive. If your heart's hard, you can't receive. All right? So the Lord might want to pour blessing out, but if it's a hard heart, it won't do you any good. It'll just bounce off you. In fact, it probably would wash you away. Okay? So that's the first two. The second two are Matar and Geshem. These are really cool. Matar is the main generic word used for rain in the Bible. And we use the word rain as both a noun and as a verb. To rain and it is rain, right? And so the word for rain can be used as a verb to do something as well. So what's really interesting for me is that this is why we need the gospel of grace. Because God, if you think about it, why did God choose the land of Israel for his people? Have you ever thought about this? All around Israel, right? You can pick any land and they have an absolute abundant water supply. So Egypt has the Nile, Assyria had the Euphrates River, and he could have chosen any one of those lands for his people and there would have been this supply of water. But actually, he chose Israel. Israel doesn't have a sufficient natural water source. That's the truth. So what did that mean? Is it meant that the Israelites, the people of God, would always have to lift their heads up and look up to God as the source of water. What is water? Blessing. This is really interesting for me because I honestly feel this, that, you know, God himself would have to see to the irrigation of Israel. Unlike the surrounding countries who could count on huge rivers in the ground, Israel had to look up all the time and see God as the one who blessed them with rain. You know, it's really interesting. God could have planted you anywhere. God could have put you in any time, any place, or any church. Right? But he put you in this one. And in this church, what we do is we lift up your head to see Jesus because he's the only one that you can count on for any blessing in your life. Any gospel that has you sitting under you plus Jesus, Jesus plus, all right, you're going to be thirsty. But where has God planted you? He's planted you here with us in exchange in a revolution of grace that we're connected to around the world. Why? Because we are a people that will, you know, when those surrounding places, actually the word for Hebrew, for Egypt, okay? So the Egyptian word in Hebrew is mitzah. It means stress, all right? So what the picture is this, that even surrounding you, there could be places that look fruitful, but they're rooted in stress. People with blessing in their lives. The Nile, massive river, stress. Isn't that interesting? Did you know that before? Okay? So Egypt in Hebrew means stress, place of stress. And so the Lord doesn't put you in a place of stress in 2019. He says, I'm going to shower blessing on you and I'm going to put it into a soft heart, a heart that's been prepared by my grace. But what my blessing will do will not be to keep you self-sufficient, but to keep you Jesus sufficient. So lift your head up. I want you to live in a place where you depend on me for the blessing in your life and not me plus something, because that's stressful. God knows, isn't it stressful when you live with Jesus plus? Oh, Jesus, I have to. Jesus, I haven't tried hard enough. Jesus, I must do this. And he says, no, my place is always to keep you in a place of dependency on me. Because if you want to go to where there seems like there's blessing, you're just going to end up stressed out. And I felt the Lord say this year, the blessing that he's going to put into your lives and into my life is going to be a releasing of stress and pressure from life. Do you get that? Life has a way of weighing heavy on us. And part of the thing of receiving grace in the early stages. If you're just starting to receive grace and your heart's being soft, do you know why the Lord wants to do that? Because as you receive grace, he says that actually, that, you know, if you don't, grace is the only message that opens your heart to the fact that it is Jesus plus nothing. It's just Jesus. Relax, he's got you covered. You don't need to work harder. You don't need to try harder. You don't need to have 10 steps to glory or do it. Let him love you into completeness and wholeness. Wake up every day with an expectation. I expect goodness today because you said so. I expect healing because you said so. I expect favor because you said so. I expect open doors because you said so. I expect financial blessing because you said so. Not because I'm getting up to work harder and bolting you on the side, but because I wake up with you in my heart and my mind, focused on you and your word, knowing that my heart is soft for you to pour into me every day. Amen. So matter is this word that's always used for general rain, right? So it's this thing of going, when it comes to blessing, all right, don't be surprised if the Lord keeps speaking to you about getting into a place where you're just looking at him. Right? Just look at him. You weren't born anywhere else. You weren't put in any other church. You were put in this church. All right? And in this church, this is what we will do. Let me read it to you from Deuteronomy 11 and 10, then 12 to 14 and 15. For the land that you're entering to take possession of is not like the land of Egypt, the place of stress, from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it like a garden of vegetables. But the land that you're going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain, the matar from heaven. Okay? So what the Lord is saying to us is now is like, you might have, the place that I want to lead you to is not a place where you have planted and sown and expect that return because you did the work. I'm leading you into a place where it is matar, it is my blessing, my rain, okay, that comes from heaven. A land that who cares for? The Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, right? Listen to me, I will send rain for your land at the right time. I will send the autumn rain and the spring rain, the two rains. You can gather your grain, your new wine, and your oil. I will make grass grow for your fields and for your cattle, and you will have plenty to eat. Amen. Do you know what the Lord's saying? That the latter rain that he's sending at this first part of 2019 into your life is a rain that causes you to gather. That's the sense I get from it as I read. I go, it's interesting when there's a time of preparing and receiving in your heart, and then there's a time where the Lord says, I'm going to bless and you're going to gather in. Look what it says. It says here, you can gather your grain, food and provision, new wine. New wine is the covenant of grace, and your oil. You can gather in. When you're gathering in, the fruit is there and you are taking it. Do you get that? And what does he say? Where does the fruit come from? These latter rains that come? He says it's because I send them. I give them. I pour them. My land is a place of my blessing. And what do you get to do? You get to gather. Who wants to gather this year? Who goes, Lord, I've had enough. I am no Percy Thrower, right? You know, there's a throwback for some of you don't have a clue. But, you know, come to our garden, it's a flippin' tip. If I was absolutely, I find people who like gardening just slightly weird. Can I just point that out? Sorry. I think there's something wrong with you. And I'm going to go that far to go, they probably need healing. It's probably rooted in something in your childhood, right? But see, desperate. Ours just, you know, all I can do is drag my 12-year-old thingy out. What do you call that thing that cuts the grass cutter? My 12-year-old, that's not Ben, my 12-year-old grass cutter. That's the actual machine. You know, it's a Briggs & Stratton engine. Never gives up. All you have to do is throw a wee bit of oil at it and petrol, and the thing never dies. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, and as much as I can do, and now I've got a dog, right? It's torn the whole thing up. So I'm kind of off the hook from doing any more gardening. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, and see those people? I used to know somebody who was really into their garden, and I used to feel condemnation when I spoke to them, because they'd say, like, what are you doing for this year's planting? Mate, the grass will be cut 3 times, and I'll get a man in to cut the hedge. That's it. All right? Because it just used to, I'm so tired of it. Do you know what I mean? Anyone going, no, I love my garden. Weirdos. And so what's wrong with you? Get a life. Just get a life. There's a big world out there. Don't waste your time doing your garden. Seriously. Jesus, help us. Jesus, take the wheel. But what's interesting for me is I find it so flipping tiring. I don't like it. I don't like the results. And I don't want to live like that. And the Lord went, actually, I'm speaking to you, church. I'm going, you don't need to live like that. You're going to gather and bring in. Why? Because you're in your land where my blessing is coming. Past, beyond and past the bit where your heart has just been softened to a rain that is heavier. And when that heavy rain comes into the second planting of God's word in your life, then you start to gather. But here's the thing. You have to add your amen to that. Do you get that? You have to come to that place where you are in agreement and alignment with the promise of God and not anchored to yesterday because it didn't work then. Do you get that? That's what all he asks us is to go, do you believe? He doesn't say, do you do? Will you act? He goes, will you believe? The expansion and the belief is on the inside of you, not on what you're going to do on the outside. And so he just says, align. Get in line with me, okay? And you're going to see that acceleration. Now, the very last thing is this. It says that, where God himself says that he would see to the irrigation of Israel, unlike the surrounding countries, right? Right? Israel had to look up and ask the Lord for rain, right? And the Lord would send the rain. And, you know, the other word that's used for this is matar. So here you've got your four words today, right? You've got Yorah and Malkosh, and then you've got Matar, and you've got Geshem in Hebrew. And the word that's most often used today in Israel is Geshem. You find it in Hosea 6. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. He is going out as sure as is the dawn. He will come to us. Remember, anyone remember this song? He will come to us like rain, spring rain. No? Kevin Prosh? That's throwing it back, okay? He will come to us as the showers, Geshem, and as the spring rains, Malkosh, that water the earth. Now, let me just say one thing about this last word for rain. I absolutely love it. It's Geshem. It's a three-letter root word, okay? It's also the three-letter root for another word called Lechit Geshem, which means this. I love this, right? What's about this rain? Well, this rain comes at this time. It softened your heart. It's prepared you for the latter rains in the spring. Remember, this was about Passover that this happened, Good Friday. And I honestly believe if some of you today activate in this and go, I'm going to align with that, I'm going to believe for that, I believe very quickly the Lord's accelerating the blessing of God in your life. Do you know that? I absolutely believe it. Now, what's really interesting, he gives you another word for rain, Lechet Geshem, right? And what does that mean? I absolutely love it because it means rain. This is the word that they mostly use in Israel for rain, right? But what it also means is it is to fulfill or to realize something. It's making something coming into being that was not. So the same word that the Lord says here is he will come to us as the showers, Geshem, okay? Is he will come to us to realize something which now is not there. Do you get that? And then he will send Malkosh, the heavy rain, the latter rain. So I need to say, there are things in your life right now, in the dry parts, and even when your heart's being prepared, that are shriveled, buried, invisible seeds, right? It always makes me think of Abraham, to be quite honest, where God's promise to him would be realized much later. But what the Lord is saying is, I will send this rain, all right? And it's what he's doing now. It's not I will send it. He's doing it now. He says, this is the time that you're in church, right? And what that does is that rain causes things that have been dead and shriveled up to sprout up. Who on earth is sitting here this morning going, Lord, there is so much in me, so much that I have dreamt for and believed for and hoped for, so much that I have at one point in my life stood for and proclaimed. I might even have encouraged other people. And the Lord says that, does that feel like it's dry and shriveled up? Because in my land, it is my rain that causes the blessing. But also this other rain, he gives it in so many dimensions. What the blessing of God will do is it will cause things that have been dried and shriveled up in you to come and sprout up and bring fruit. I receive that word for me. Look, I don't care. I'm preaching myself happy this morning. I'm going, seriously, Lord, if you're speaking that for me, I will not live replaying the same scenes that I did in 17 and 18 into 2019. I've resolved that. I've resolved, yes, Lord, if you have said it, I am aligning and I'm adding my amen to what you're speaking over me and my family. I'm already there. I'm saying, Lord, you've prepared my heart. You have poured grace into me. And I'm aligned now today to say, Lord, send the latter rain into my life. And do you know what? It's not for some point in the future. It's for now. It's for spring. It's for new beginnings, new life, new hope. And the Lord says, if it's dried and it's shriveled up, let my blessing come. And what's interesting? You know, by grace, people go, well, you can't believe. Oh, for goodness sake, how can you expect that of Jesus? You know, just be a wee bit more po-faced. And you know what? What is the whole thing of pouring rain to bless? The Lord says he will love you and lead you and change you by blessing you. He doesn't have to beat you into submission. He doesn't have to whack you around the head. He doesn't give you a clip in the backside and say, come on. It's his blessing that changes you. When you live in fruitfulness and fullness and you live in a place where you go, I know it wasn't me. I know that it wasn't the Nile in the country that I'm in. Because I'm in this country. I had to look up and see the blessing of God. When there was no other way, he blessed me with rain. And because of that, I can say yes and amen. Yeah. Oh, flip it. I want to live like that. Some of you need to catch up. Can I just say catch up quickly? Because there is a time and a season. The Lord says he is planting today for a harvest quickly. He's planting today in your life for a quick harvest. I love these words because normally sometimes when the Spirit of the Lord is moving, people go, oh, well, you know, brother, times and seasons, and you may or may not see your blessing on this side of eternity. You know all that? No, and I just thought, no, don't chicken out. If the Lord is speaking through Pastor Prince around the world, and I hope to goodness he doesn't say anything different. Has anyone listened to it? And if it's different to this, he's out of step. That's all I'm going to say, right? But is he kind of? Oh, good. That's brilliant. And I'm just joking, Pastor, if you're listening. And so the thing is, I go, right, you know, I have no idea. I've just lost my train of thought because I've just thought about upsetting somebody. So, but do you get me? I'm going, listen, in this year, right? In this year, we don't have to wait until glory. I love that. But you know what? You don't have to wait as long as you say no to yesterday and yes and amen. Because all of his promises are yes in Jesus. And so therefore we add our amen. Hebrews, that I said last week. We don't add our effort. We don't add our work. We don't add our We don't add our this. We don't add our that. We add our yes. So be it. Desperate. Isn't that good? I love this. When the grace comes, when the blessing of God comes, and you know, he calls into existence those things which don't appear to exist just yet. Romans 4, one of my favorite books of the Bible. As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, he gives life to the dead and calls things into existence, the things that don't exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, this is Abraham, as he had been told. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Can I just say, as sure as the sun will go down today, God will fulfill his promise to you. If you hear it from no one else this week, okay, this is your this is the rain coming from the teacher to you. He will fulfill his promise in your life. Amen. Oh, that's good. So, so good. Let us know, it says, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us as Geshem, the showers, as the spring Malkosh rains that water the earth. Can I just say here, there is a sense, okay? If I just pull this together very quickly. What is it about Lechet Geshem, about the future? Because what the Lord is saying to you is, still when we respond with, but I can't see it. That's what that bit of rain is speaking into. I can't see it. He goes, but my blessing is there to bring it out. So as long as he says, my heart has prepared you. My rain has prepared you. I'm preparing you for latter rain. And do you know what that latter rain is? It's not just about a move of the Holy Spirit. That's what the latter rain movement is about. Actually, it is about the full shower of God's blessing in your life. It is a time to gather, a time to eat, a time to enjoy. Flip me. Oh, I'm not too sure. I'm quite happy being miserable, Pastor, to be honest. All right? That's the season for it. If you're here because, can I just say, you're here because the Lord is speaking this right into your life today. He's bringing you hope today. He's bringing you future today and saying, this is the time to receive and add your amen. This is the time to let go of yesterday. And you go, but hold on, but... And he goes, okay, oh, tomorrow those things that you can't see that are dried and shriveled up, my blessing will come. And do you know what's interesting? Where it's when the rain comes that things come to life. Do you get that? I love it. When the rain comes, things come to life. So you go, well, I don't know about tomorrow. He says, I have promised you my blessing is coming. And as you receive my blessing, in areas that you've never received it before, or in areas where you have been blessed, going deeper and deeper into your life, it's just going to cause so much fruit in your life. And you will gather. That thing of gathering is enjoying. It's using the fruit of the land, using the fruit, all the fruitfulness of God in your life. I believe that's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. Now, as a church, we're going to pull that together in terms of our vision for the rest of the year. But our vision is God's vision. Get people saved. Get them into the grace of God. Show them what they're called for and get them playing their part in the family. Like, it's not hard. Seriously. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. But the emphasis, do you hear what the emphasis of the Lord is for you? Let it go. Let it go. Don't hold it back anymore. All right? We're on The Greatest Showman, actually, right now. Is anyone else in that phase? Oh, sweet Lord above. For those of you without children of that age, just thank God for your small mercies. But I have, if I hear... A million dreams. One more time. It's driving me nuts. No, we love it, don't we? Slightly sarcastic. But you know, that's what it's just I'm trying to say to you today. I'm trying to say, you know what? It matters that you're here every week, because every week that you're here, the Lord prepares your heart for more. Why? Because the rain is the teacher sending the word like an arrow. Isn't that brilliant? That's why it matters that you're here. That's why this church matters. That's why you need to have people here to hear the word of grace. Because it's like fresh rain pouring into their lives. And what's interesting is as the rain pours in, the blessing comes, they're revived. All right? Things that they never even thought could ever possibly be so, all right, are revived and brought about in them, and they get to gather and enjoy. The latter rains, four rains, huh?